Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 14th of March, recording at 8:56 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. First, what about any highlights here today? There are several that I can see. There has been some bearish divergence by some previously leading stock market indices, but in truth, that's an accumulation of evidence which has occurred over the last few market days. Other developments here today, we've had a sell-off followed, small sell-off followed by a small rally in U.S. Treasury bonds. That will have some implications that I'll discuss in a moment. Elsewhere, we have seen a dollar rally that started gradually this morning and sort of picking up momentum might be an exaggeration, but it gradually increased. And most, not all, but most of the gains have been held through what's nearly the close on Wall Street. And inevitably, against the background of that dollar rally, which really constitutes a small upward dynamic by the U.S. dollar, we have seen some negative action in some of the metals, particularly gold and silver. And the last but not least, natural gas, big gains in here today, benefiting from the recent cold weather. Okay, let's go back to the beginning. Then in terms of global stock markets, we've got a nervous tone here, which is really hardly surprising, given all of those warning signs, concern over rising interest rates, and the government bond markets, which, as you will certainly be aware, have been quite weak over the last month or more. Now, as far as I'm concerned, government bond markets are a hugely important indicator overall, because what they really reflect is the cost of money over the medium to longer term. And if that's rising, that's going to jeopardize a lot of bubbles from stock markets where valuations have appreciated significantly over the last couple of years in some instances, to, well, I think that this is still a bond market bubble, and to the housing market, and some would argue that there are some commodity bubbles in the resources sector. I wouldn't argue with that, but I would also say that those are fundamentally driven as well, and we can't say that about all bubbles, obviously. So, in terms of global stock markets, I think this is very much the end game. And this is risky territory here. I can't say that it's over. In putting up several indices that are showing bearish divergence, you will recall, and I mentioned it as well in my comment of the day, that we saw some negative divergence at the beginning of January, and markets shrugged that off and moved higher. But every new high makes it a little bit more risky for these stock markets, particularly when we've had long-dated government bond yields rising. So, again, I think this is a time to be removing positions from the market, or raising capital, I should say, in terms of equity positions, not thinking where to invest next. I've been a little slow here recently in terms of doing that myself because, A, there was some conflicting evidence, and in pointing out which stock markets have shown negative divergence, I'm not mentioning the ones that or the dogs that didn't go bark in the night. And calling them dogs, I'm not disparaging the market indices. There are some powerful trends out there that are still consistent. But needless to say, the warning signs, the headwinds, they are all there. And I do think we have to be really quite careful. And I do aim to raise cash. As I said on Thursday, though, I find it somewhat difficult to decide where to or what to concentrate on, because I do really like my resources sectors. And I also like my Asian emerging market positions and my Japan positions, But if we are witnessing a liquidity contraction, and that is the other key, not only the cost of money, but the amount of liquidity that's sloshing around in the system, if that is actually taking place, and that was an extremely important chart that is in that Mark Farber article. It was the GAFCAL chart of liquidity. As I said, I don't have any idea how they've actually calculated that, but I assume it's not wildly inaccurate, and if it's accurate, to whatever extent that it's accurate, that is a major warning sign for a number of markets, not just stock markets. Okay, now in terms of some of the stock markets that I'm most interested in, and I know that a number of you are interested in Japan. Well, we had the Nikkei down, and also the TOPIX today. They are encountering resistance from the higher side of fairly broad trading band. The TOPIX index, I beg your pardon, the second section, the Tokyo second section index, that is the one that's been leading all the way on the upside, just powered ahead again here today. That probably kept me in my Nikkei position, but I've pretty well decided for now, at least, not to add to that position, although I had talked about it previously. Now, Wall Street is closing out here near the highs of the day, and I think a bond market rally might have had something to do with that. Not big gains, but considering what might have happened, this is not bad. The Dow's up 30, up over 6, nearly 7 points on the S&P 500 index, and the NASDAQ composite up 9. That NASDAQ is in a narrow range and not that far above last month's lows, and it's the one major internationally followed index that has just not been able to rally over the last month or so. So if that were to break down again, I think that would be another really quite bearish signal for global stock markets, because the Nasdaq's a confidence index at this stage of the overall stock market cycle. Okay. Government bonds, not a big rally, but I'm looking at U.S. Treasuries. They got down to a low of 110.06. That's the June contract, and last traded at 110.28. That's two off the high at 110.30. So up 8/32 on the day. Saying not big action, but anything that stems the decline is going to be seen as a reprieve by some investors. JGBs were a little softer here today. Those Japanese government bonds, which has led the way all along, were weak as well. Incidentally, that the stock market action that concerned me the most, and I now realize I'm going back to an earlier section, but I'd overlooked this, that you'll see the chart in the comment of the day, is the one for New Zealand. And you may say, well, New Zealand, come on, that's way at the south end of the world. That's not going to be all that significant in terms of global equity capitalization. Well, it's been very much a leader in term among developed markets, as I've mentioned, developed country stock markets, I should say, in this cycle, New Zealand and Australia. And those two big down days that we saw on Thursday and Friday, certainly those are clear dynamics. They are very inconsistent with what has taken place previously in the trend. And okay, it's only 2 days, but that's a warning sign. Now, Australia actually rallied, and rallied quite smartly in here today, up nearly 30 points, taking the S&P ASX 200 index to 4,233. But I noticed that Billiton and Rio Tinto were Billiton first, that was the top gainer, I believe, in the index, and Rio, which I own, that was the third strongest on the index. But they both closed down on the day here in London, so we may well see a portion of that gain reversed by Australia tomorrow. Needs watching. Okay, moving on here. The dollar's gains occurring just as the dollar had pushed back up to very close to that 135 level against the euro and more people were starting to talk it up. So you could argue a little short-term overbought, but there's no doubt that today's action by the euro, that's since I was talking about that, the euro's downward reaction, that's a small dynamic. It's the biggest move since the February low for the euro. Again, not a big dynamic, but this has certainly sowed some doubts in the minds of people who are dollar long or playing various dollar carry trades. And the dollar index, similarly, that showed a small upward dynamic, and that's the first time we've seen one of those since the technical rally high in February. And of course, the dollar is much closer to the lower side of its overall trading range than the upside. So I will watch this with interest, you can be certain, along with a great many other people in the financial world. Let's see what happens here tomorrow. Upside follow through by the dollar index, downside follow through by the currencies, various different currencies against the US dollar, would suggest that another technical rally of sorts was underway, and that could have further short-term bearish implications for the metals which reacted. Gold currently trading just under 441. In here, that's down a little over $4. Silver fell back fairly sharply. It was the biggest downside move we've seen in silver for a few weeks. It's last traded on the May contract at 743. I've had a lot of silver positions, well, reasonable number of silver positions. It's one of my bigger positions overall, and some of those have, well, they've gone from all being in profit on Thursday, which was I wasn't here on Friday, or on Friday they were all in profit, though I noticed from the closes, but some of those have slipped into a little bit of a loss. My strategy is the same. I've got buy orders underneath in silver and sell orders overhead. But again, a further dollar rally, and I'll be buying more silver before I get to sell more silver. Now, palladium pulled back a little bit here today, down a couple of dollars, nearly 201. Technically, it looks like a buy rather than a sell at this level, but this is the speculative laggard, don't forget. In terms of platinum, that was the strongest one. But very just about on, but only by virtue of the fact that it was up chain unchanged or up a tiny fraction here today, closing at 870.50 on the April contract. Now that's not far away from an upside breakout, but it's got months of lateral resistance up there in the 880 region, just above the 880 region. So it's only $10 and a bit away. But I think it would really have to punch up through the 890, 900 level to convince people that this was a significant breakout. I think it will do that. Whether it does it before we see a little bit more of a pullback and messing around will depend on, and in no small measure, on what the US dollar does. And elsewhere, the industrial metals down a bit, but not all that much. They still remain generally firm overall, and we've still got backwardations very much established for all of them except for zinc, where there's a small contango, and zinc is previous laggard last year has been by far the steadiest this year. It's getting quite a significant appreciation. Natural gas, I was waiting for an upward dynamic in that, but as I said in the comment, I got a little nervous, took out a third of my position too soon in here today, but a profit's a profit, and I've put in some optimistic target sell orders on my June positions, which I have following a rollover from an earlier contract. I think it was last month that I rolled that position forward, but that was a big gain. In here today, as you'll see from the charts, good upper dynamic. And when I look at the monthly a chart of natural gas. I'd say this is eyebrow-raisingly cheap among the various different energy contracts. And when they've been so strong, and incidentally, oil bounced back in here today. It had sold off earlier on, but then rallied quite sharply. Last traded at 54.87. Looks to me like it's consolidating at these levels prior to going higher. It sold off earlier in the day on comments from Saudi Arabia and possibly others that more oil should be released and so on. But the demand for this commodity remains very, very firm, as it does for other industrial commodities. So when all the oil contracts are as strong as they are, and I see natural gas with a bullish chart pattern overall, but still lagging behind, I think, well, this is going to play a little bit more catch up. And what else to mention? I think that's pretty much the story. A little bit of profit taking in those grains, which have been red hot recently. You probably recall me saying, if you're listening to the audios, during most of the autumn and beginning of this year, that the agricultural commodities were dirt cheap. Well, some of them have seen some really smart recoveries, and I don't think it's over. But that's a weather-sensitive area. But this is an interesting time in terms of weather prospects. No doubt there's some hedge fund speculative play in that sector, not least because agricultural commodities were about the last possible investment that people could pick up that hadn't seen a significant move. So say they have run ahead quite sharply in the last couple of months, and I don't think that move is over. And certainly, if there are any weather scares in the U.S. growing season, that will certainly lead to some blistering additional rallies. And that's it, folks. All the best to you.